In Albania, the country's largest political demonstrations since the 1991 fall of communism have now entered their second month. The so-called Flamingo Revolution began as a protest against a proposed luxury resort, which has the financial backing of Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Work had already begun on the 10,000-bed resort inside a once-protected wildlife area, home to flamingos, sea turtle nesting sites, seals, and one of the most pristine and biodiverse river delta systems in Europe. But the protests have now swelled into a nationwide movement furious with Albania's political elite, and some of the demonstrations have descended into violent clashes between protesters and police. Joining us now is Alice Taylor, freelance editor and journalist based in Tirana, Albania. Alice, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Good morning. Welcome. Thank you.
Alice, why did opposition to this particular resort development snowball into a wider movement with a broad set of grievances against the Albanian government and, I guess, the Albanian system?
It was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back, you know. It really highlighted the gulf between wealthy investors with billions of dollars to spend who can just come into Albania, scoop up parcels of state property and privately owned property, develop huge luxury resorts that would be far, far, far out of the reach of every regular Albanian, and those who live on 400 euros a month, who cannot get cancer drugs in the hospital because the government doesn't provide them, who can't get a liver transplant because there's not the facilities in the country to do it, whose children go to schools where there's no heating or cooling, people who don't have electric and water 24 hours a day, people who are having to leave the country to find other economic opportunities. I think this really made people understand the gulf that exists between the rich and poor and how hard it can be for a regular Albanian person to survive, to make ends meet, to pay for diesel and fuel as prices increase. We've seen similar projects throughout the country, not on the same scale, but where pristine coastland and once protected areas have been or are being developed into luxury resorts. And people feel that their country is being taken out from underneath them and that they're never going to see any benefit of it.
So, Alice, where is this particular resort going to be built? And this area, I understand, was once environmentally protected. When and how did that change?
Yes, so there are two developments as a part of the broader proposal. Sazan Island, which is state property, it's a former military zone. It was used by the Soviets, it was used by the communists. It used to have a villa belonging to Mussolini on it. It's surrounded by and still contains plenty of unexploded ordnance in the waters and actually on the island itself. So I'm a bit hesitant as to whether Ivanka Trump actually did hike to the top of it barefoot. So that's one area that's proposed for development. And then a stone's throw away on the coast near Vlora and the edge of the Vjosanata protected area is the Zvonets beach. It's a kind of peninsula. It's stunningly beautiful, completely untouched. And this is where they want to build the rest of the resort, including many, many luxury hotels and villas. But it's not just that, it's the infrastructure that would be needed to support a project of this type: roads, water facilities, waste disposal. There's an airport being built nearby as well, actually in the middle of a lagoon and a protected area in the flight path of migratory birds. So all of this is coming together to destroy part of the delta of the Vjosa River, and it's the last wild river in Europe. So there was a law which prevented any kind of construction in protected areas. Now, this was changed in 2024, very controversially. Journalists and activists did raise the alarm about it. It was changed to reduce the size of a number of protected areas to pave the way for multiple constructions and developments. So this protected areas law and the strategic investors law, these are two laws which protesters want repealed because both of them allow for private land to be seized and expropriated by the government to be used for projects deemed of a strategic national interest. And they both pave the way for protected or once protected land to be used for these purposes. People don't want this.
You mentioned before Ivanka Trump. Mm-hmm. I think in May this year, she released some kind of a statement about the resort project. What did she say? And what was the effect of her comments in Albania?
she said, you know, we were on the boat and we just swam across this beautiful, private, uninhabited island and we hiked barefoot to the top of it. And she talked about how wonderful this project's going to be. Firstly, what she said isn't true. That's not how she found the island. That's not how she came to Albania in the first place. She came to Albania because she was in Corfu and there were large wildfires, and she was actually invited to come to Albania by Prime Minister Edi Rama with her husband, who sort of rescued them from the fires, you know. The plans to develop this area had been in the pipeline for a long time, and I think the opportunity was seen, oh, here's someone with lots of money and experience in real estate. Let's bring them in and show them the Riviera. So there was no hiking to the top of the island. If you've ever been there, it's completely impossible. And there's no swimming to it either. It's very deep. It's open water. It's difficult, you know. But she was, you know, talking about how beautiful this private, uninhabited island. No, it's not a private island. It belongs to the Albanian people. It's state property. It doesn't belong to the prime minister. It doesn't belong to the ruling party. It certainly doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Albanian people. It was just so out of touch with reality. The Albanian people have not been consulted about this project. There have not been any environmental impact assessments. They've had absolutely no say in what happens. So either she has her facts completely wrong, or she's just living on a completely different planet.
How would you describe Prime Minister Edi Rama's relationship with the Trump administration?
Well, it's interesting, you know, because politically he is on the opposite end of the spectrum.
He's a socialist, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, he's probably more central when it comes to policies than left, but he is on paper at least a socialist. However, he has been very friendly with Trump. They've had pictures, they've met. He's on the Trump Board of Peace, for example. Well, Albania is. He has not criticized Trump. He has supported him in many ways. I guess it has to be a smart geopolitical move. You know, Albania is a small country. It's a member of NATO. It needs to be friends with America. Also, Albania is extremely pro-US and has been for many, many, many years. In fact, the US embassy for many years was the most trusted institution in the country, more than the courts, more than parliament, more than the church, you know. So for that reason, I think it's in the interest of whoever is in power to remain on a good footing with whoever is the president of the United States. But of course, yes, he's been friendly with Ivanka, with Jared, because he wants them to invest. And in fact, he said, I can't go back on this project because it would embarrass Albania. No investors would come back after that. So I think he's very keen on keeping that relationship steady. However, I know that the European Union is a bit concerned because, as you know, Donald Trump has Jared Kushner in advisory roles, and he sort of blurs that line between family and his work. In fact, if you want a comment from Jared Kushner, you have to contact the White House press service. So that line is very blurred. And I know that there are people within the European Commission who are a little concerned that potentially an island in quite a strategic position between Albania and Italy in the Adriatic Sea could be de facto in the hands of the US president, particularly at a time there are maybe some complexities in the transatlantic relationship.
There certainly are. The Rama government is, of course, pushing and wanting foreign investment. Yes. And tourist numbers have tripled in the last decade, I understand, while he's been in power. I think he's been there for about 13 years. The tourist boom has even drawn praise from the United Nations Tourism Agency. But how do ordinary Albanian people feel about this huge increase in the tourism industry? Do Albanian people feel that they've benefited from this huge growth?
Yes, they do. Look, Albanian people are extremely welcoming. They love foreigners. They love guests. Albanians welcome foreign investment. They welcome tourists. But a project like this, is it going to benefit your average Albanian person? At the moment, for an example, many businesses, touristic businesses across the country, are struggling with staff. A resort of this size is going to need so many staff. And if Albania is already struggling to fill the vacancies it has, it's going to struggle with this as well. So you're going to be bringing in foreign workers to work there. Look at the Maldives, for example, where you have these uber luxury resorts staffed with third country nationals and people living in slums in the capitals. Or Jamaica, for example. These models show that this kind of luxury resort do not always benefit the local economy. Also, if it's done under the strategic investment policy, like this project is, they're not liable to pay taxes for a number of years, you know? So it's not like there's money going back into the economy. So if people are coming to stay on an island for a week, they're not going to be going shopping in a little local grocery shop. They're not going to be drinking coffee in a family-owned coffee shop. They're going to be staying in this resort, which is staffed mainly by foreign people, where the owners are not paying tax. You know, how does this benefit someone living 200 kilometers inland where the school doesn't have electric most of the day? You know, this is the problem. People in Albania, they support tourism, but they want a more sustainable type that work in harmony with what people like about Albania, tradition and history. It's got wild, unexplored mountains and countryside. This is its draw. This is its selling point, you know? And if we just build these hyper-luxury resorts, which are shut off to regular people and don't benefit the economy, this is going to kill the other side of the tourism industry.
Okay, so you've got these protests. They're very colourful. Many people carry cutouts of flamingos, inflatable flamingos, placards featuring flamingos. I think a lot of people are wearing pink T-shirts. What are the protesters calling for? They're calling for a stop to this development, but what else are they calling for?
So they want the repeal of the two laws, which I mentioned before. They are also demanding the resignation of Prime Minister Edi Rama and his entire government. But they are also asking that the opposition, the Democratic Party, be resigned from their positions as well. They want a complete reset of the political elite. They've called for a technical, non-political government for a period of 12 months. And during this time, those laws would be repealed. There would also be amendments made to the electoral code, amendments which have been requested by international organizations for many years, ones that would change the voting system to make it fairer, to give smaller independent candidates and parties a chance. So they want sweeping changes to the electoral code to make it more fair, more representative of what people are actually voting for. We have a closed list system, partially closed list system at the moment. It's very difficult for any independent candidate to make a dent in it. So they want changes to that, various other changes related to referendum laws as well. And then they want new elections after a year. I mean, they're also calling for the opposition leader and the prime minister to go to prison, but obviously they need to be investigated. But they want a complete reset. They are tired of the system that's been in place for 35 years. They're tired of what they perceive as spiraling out of control, corruption, inequality. I've lived here for 9 years. Things have improved immensely over the last few years, but there are still big problems here. And especially this younger generation, I think they really feel if things don't change, they have to leave. And if these people who have the energy and the power to stand up and to fight and to call for change, if they lose, they're just going to leave and another country is going to benefit from them.
So they've got a pretty broad agenda there. How has Prime Minister Edi Rama responded to these protests and to these calls?
Not well. I mean, he's taken the mickey out of them. He's singled out individual protesters and criticized them. He's criticized the protest in general. He said it's influenced by Iran, which is not the case. Some of the government, they post pictures on social media of the protest at 7 o'clock when it starts, when there's not many people there. Whereas by 9 o'clock, there's a couple of thousand people, you know, they do try and play it down. He said he won't resign until Albania is inside of the EU, which is supposed to be 2030, if everything goes to plan. He is not showing any signs of backing down. There are, however, people within his party, and I know this, who are urging him to listen to the protesters, to react to their demands, at least to take what they're saying seriously, you know, but I don't think he will. The protests will continue. Whether they will continue in the same way with as many people, I don't know. But either way, it's been a historic moment for Albania. Like you said in the introduction, there's been nothing like this since the fall of communism.
So you mentioned Prime Minister Edi Rama leads a socialist party government. The main opposition is the Democratic Party, and the protesters are also calling for the resignation of that party's leader. Why is that?
Well, Salih Berisha was one of the co-founders of the first political party after the end of communism. He's been the country's president. He's been the country's prime minister. He is actually under investigation for high-level corruption himself. He was on house arrest for a year. They perceive that he is just as corrupt as Edi Rama. Also, these two figures have been central to Albanian politics for the last 35, 36 years. You know, they want all of them gone. Salih Berisha was banned from entry to the US. I believe he's still banned from entry to the UK. You know, they don't want this person representing the country. Now, Berisha has been quite reserved at first in backing the protests. Now he is cautiously supporting the protests. He's saying you should listen to the protesters. We support them, but we are not driving them. And he is also calling for the resignation of Edi Rama. I think he hopes that if the protesters succeed, he might be able to wangle his way back. But no, they want him gone as much as they want the prime minister gone. One of the chants at the protest is Rama Burg Berisha Burg, which means Rama in prison, Berisha in prison. You know, these people are not political. They're not, you know, from one side or the other. They dislike all sides equally.
So you mentioned that Albania wants to join the EU, hopefully by 2030. Mm-hmm. What's at stake for Albania amid all these protests?
Well, the EU, as I said, it has its concerns off the record about the project. They have also publicly warned the government, this project must be in line with EU standards or you're not going to join. It could affect your EU accession path. European Parliament passed a resolution asking for the project to be halted and for changes to the law. I think it's safe to say there's two issues here. One, the nature of the project. It could cause problems for Albania's accession if it goes ahead, unless Edi Rama is able to successfully lobby. The other problem that I see is related to stability. So now things are progressing. Albania has opened all the negotiation chapters. It's working through them. If the government is to change, if we have a technical government, if we have new elections, is this going to slow down Albania's path? Can the country accede to the European Union with this sort of thing going on in the background? I don't know. It remains to be seen. But joining the EU is extremely important for Albania, and almost all of the Albanian population is pro-EU. But also, the problems that remain in Albania are serious. And to turn away from these issues and to not solve them and to not listen to what the people want, what the people need, this would be a huge, huge, huge mistake to the detriment of Albania. You know, EU accession is important, but the future of the country is with the younger generation, and they want change.
Alice Taylor, thank you for bringing us up to speed on the very complex political and economic landscape in Albania. It's been fascinating. Thank you.
Thank you for your interest.
Thank you for speaking to Sunday Extra. Alice Taylor there, freelance editor and journalist who's based in Tirana.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.